get engaged. And more than likely, every single person in this room will be married at some point. It's possible you might be someone like Jesse and maybe never get married. For most of us, it's true. The statistics are quite high for people who get into at least have a boyfriend or girlfriend, and definitely they're high for getting married. So this is something that is going to happen. And this is not a series necessarily for people who are in relationships. You may be in a relationship, you might have a boyfriend, you might have a girlfriend, although I don't think there's anyone in this room that that's the case, but you might have a boyfriend or girlfriend, and this stuff definitely applies if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend. But it's primarily for you now. For you to start now thinking about the next time you fall in love, thinking about when you do have a boyfriend, thinking about when you do have a girlfriend, and setting the right perspective now on relationships. So that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. Let's pray and we'll get into what we're talking about. God, I just thank you for the opportunity we have to come together again. I have really missed everybody and getting together and being able to hang out together and play dumb games together and read your word and understand your word and be able to worship together. I'm just so excited for what you have for our night tonight. And I just pray that you would help my perspectives on things to dissolve and fall away, and that you would just truly be able to show us what your word has to say tonight. And maybe we'd be open to what your word has to say. And if we need to change our perspective on something, if we need to change the way that we're doing things, I pray that you give us the courage and the trust in you to do that. You guys should know the drill now. It's right on your little handout there. You guys can look it up before I even have a chance to tell you. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start looking at verse 15. Chapter 5, verse 15. He says this. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Right before this, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is the one who wrote Ephesians. He is talking about the fact that we as believers are light in this world. He gives an analogy of the fact that we are light in a dark world. And if you're in a dark room and someone turns on a flashlight, where does all your attention go and all your focus go?
Away from the light.
To that light, unless it's really bright, and then you look away. But the light always penetrates the darkness. And he is saying, you are light. God's perspective on us is not that we become light, or that we get better at being light, or that we shine a brighter light. We are light. If you're a believer, if you've trusted Jesus with your life, you are a light. And he says, be a light. Be who you are in this world that is dark. And don't act like the darkness. You're not darkness. You're not like the world. You're not like all your friends that don't trust God with their lives. You're not like that. You're different. You're set apart. You're a totally different person. Don't act like that. Don't buy into that. Don't buy into their thinking. And don't follow what they're doing. And then he says, therefore. Remember, anytime he says therefore, you got to look at what he was just talking about, which we just talked about. He says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Because you are light and you don't want to be like the darkness, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. And we've talked about this a couple times, but anytime the Bible talks about how you walk, they're not talking about how you put one foot in front of the other. You know, whether you have a cool walk or a dorky walk. Did you know when I was in junior high, this is totally a rabbit trail, I used to work on my walk. I was such a dork. I wanted to have a cool walk. I thought I had a dumb walk, and so I would like be in my room, and I'd be like, okay, let me try this walk. And anyway, I was a total dork. But maybe a little bit still a dork. But what this is talking about is anytime the Bible talks about your walk, it's talking about your life, how you live your life every single day. Okay? And he says, be careful how you live your life, how you do things in your day, how you conduct your life. Be careful. Don't walk around, don't live your life as unwise, but as wise. And I like that the people who translated the Bible really tried to use nice words, because, you know, we want to be nice, unwise or wise. But the words actually are pretty much like, don't be dumb, don't be stupid, be smart. That's what it means. Don't be dumb with your life, be smart with your life. Be wise with your life. Well, how do you do that? Verse 16, he says, how do you do that? Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. He says, take every day and make the most of your time. Don't waste your time. Again, remember the context of this. He's talking about don't be like the darkness, be like the light that you are. Don't waste your time buying into what the world says is what you should be doing with your life. Instead, live every second wisely. Make every moment of your life count. Live life to the fullest it possibly could be lived. Well, how do we do that? Verse 17, he says, so then, do not be foolish. Again, don't be dumb. Don't be an idiot. But understand what the will of the Lord is. How do you live your life every moment the best possible way it could be lived? The fullest possible life you could have? Understand what the will of God is. Don't buy into people's thoughts. Don't buy into this world's thoughts on your life. Buy into God's thoughts. Understand what God's desires are for your life. That is how to live the best life you possibly could live. And he goes on and gives the biggest concept here of what he's trying to explain in regards to God's thoughts. He says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Dissipation just means a complete waste, garbage. It is a waste of your time. It is a complete waste of your time to get drunk with wine. But be filled with the Spirit. And that word filled should be translated as fulfilled. Fully filled up. It's like a glass that, have you ever tried to fill up a glass? I did this in science class. I don't even remember why we did this in science class. But we took and we tried to fill up a glass as far as you possibly could. You'd like put little drops in it until you could get it at the highest it possibly could go. And I think we were learning something about surface tension. Yeah, surface tension. Have you guys ever learned about that? That actually, if you fill up a cup, the farthest it can go, it actually goes above the glass. It's pretty cool. You should check it out if you haven't checked it out. But you can fill up that completely, not a single drop more can be put into that glass. And he's saying that in the same way with our lives. That our lives are like a big glass. Or actually, you've probably heard this analogy before. I actually like this analogy. That really, it's like we have in our lives a huge hole of need in our lives. And that people try to fill that hole up with all sorts of things that they believe will fulfill them, will fill them up and make them complete. But they continue to try to stuff things into their lives, including one thing he mentions here is getting drunk. People try to fill their lives, try to make their lives okay by getting drunk, because it actually feels nice to get drunk. It all your worries kind of melt away, and you're happy, go lucky, and your endorphins are running, and it feels great until you barf and stuff, which is not good. I know because I've gotten drunk, but that was stupid of me because it was a waste of my life. It was a waste of my time to do that. But don't try to look for fulfillment there. Don't try to be filled up there. Don't try to be filled up by sports. Don't try to be filled up by money. So many people are trying to fill their lives. They think, if I just make such and such, you know, if I just became a millionaire, my life would be complete. If I just, and then they become a millionaire and they're like, if I just became a billionaire, then my life would be complete. It's never enough. They try to fill their lives up with things and it's never enough. It never completes them. It never fulfills them. And it never will. It wasn't meant to be. Money was never made to fulfill us. And some people try to do it by fame. If I just was famous, then my life would be set. You know, I wanted to be a rock star when I was in high school. I wanted to be the lead singer of a band. I was actually in a band that was cool. It was a really lame band. But I wanted to be a rock star. I thought that would be awesome. And so many people just want to be famous. If I could just be famous, then I would arrive. Then I would really be there. If I just became as great of an actor, as well known as Brad Pitt, then I would be complete. Do you think Brad Pitt is complete and fulfilled? No. He wants to be Tom Hanks. It's never enough. It's never enough. Because those things were never meant to fulfill us. And the reason why I'm talking about this in the context of our study here is that most people are under the illusion that they can be fulfilled by a relationship. And they actually strive for that. It's like common knowledge. If you find your soulmate, you will be fulfilled. How many of you guys have seen Jerry Maguire? Have you guys all seen? Only half of you guys have seen Jerry Maguire? Oh my gosh. Okay, there is a classic line. You guys have heard this line from Jerry Maguire. Okay, Renee Zellweger, I don't know what their characters' names are, but Renee Zellweger is in there. She's really mad at Tom Cruise's character. And Tom Cruise bursts through the door, and he's like, oh, I love you, and oh, you're so great, and all this stuff. Okay, and he starts by saying hello, because you had me at hello. Anyway, he says hello, and then he says all this stuff. And then he says, classic line, you complete me. You guys know that line? And all the girls go, ah. Oh. If I could just, that's what I need. I need someone who will complete me. Yes. Someone who will make me whole. Someone who will fill up my glass to the fullest it could be filled up. Why are you laughing at that? And most people believe that if they find the right person, they will be fulfilled. If they find their soulmate, they will be fulfilled. And inevitably what happens is, you know, you're like, oh, if I could just date that guy, it would be the best ever. And then you date that guy and you're like, if I could just, he's not quite the right guy. I thought he was the right guy. I thought he was the one that would complete me. But I was wrong. I haven't found the right guy yet. So then it's on to the next guy. Or on to the next girl. Because I got to find the person that will complete me and fulfill me. And you know what? It's false. And what ends up happening is you go, oh, this person doesn't fulfill me, doesn't complete me now. But if we got married, if we had that security, then we would be complete. Then we would be fulfilled. And what is it, like 57% of people get divorced? And probably a much higher percentage of that are supremely unhappy in their marriage Because they're looking for something that they'll never get from that other person. Never get. We weren't made to fulfill each other. We weren't made to complete each other. We weren't made to make each other whole. God was made to fulfill us. He says, but be fulfilled not by alcohol, not by fame, not by fortune, not by relationships, nothing, but be fulfilled, not even partially filled by something else, be completely fulfilled by me. Be completely fulfilled by God alone. Nothing else will fulfill you. So important when we're looking at this. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5 says this. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. See, we usually get that concept backwards. We go, you know what? I'm going to go after the desires of my heart. I'm going to try to get fulfilled by the things that I want, that my heart desires. I desire that guy, oh, whew, yeah, he's so great. Or that girl, man, she is smoking hot. I wish I could just date her. That's all you want. You go after that. You desire that. That's what your life's pursuit is spent on. And God says, no, delight yourself in me. Find everything that you need in me, and I'll take care of that stuff. You want to have a great relationship? You want to have a great boyfriend, great girlfriend? You want to have a great husband or wife when that day comes? Delight yourself in me. Find everything that you need in me, and I'll take care of the rest of that stuff. The point there is find fulfillment in God alone, if you haven't gotten that. Find fulfillment in God alone. Matthew 6:33. Oh, there was Psalm 37. I have this clicker now, and I'm not used to having the clicker. I'm excited to have the clicker. Matthew 6:33 says this. Says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Again, the context of what he's talking about here, we want to look back. We don't just want to look at one verse. If you look back farther into chapter 6, what he's talking about is needs, is things that we need. And the people are going, well, I need food, and I need shelter, and I need clothing, and I need money, and I need a smoking hot girlfriend, and I need all this stuff. That's what I need. In my life, that's what I need. And Jesus says this. He says, seek first, make number one priority in your life, his kingdom and his righteousness. Stop going after that stuff. Stop going after money. Stop going after, you know, making sure that you have everything that you need. Stop focusing on those things. And seek me first. You know, my brother is an awesome guy that is really growing in God and is really has really committed his life to God in so many ways. But he wasn't always that way. He was into drinking and drugs and sleeping around and all that stuff. And he came to a point in his life where he was like, okay, I'm done with that stuff, and I'm just going to focus on God. And he was coming along, and it was good. But every time I talked to him, it seemed like what he was focused on, everything he was talking about, was not God. Not that you always have to be, like, rattling off verses and, you know, God's so great and all that stuff. But it just, I could tell in his life, the thing he was constantly focused on, the thing that he was constantly talking about, was money. That was the thing for him. And he would always say, he had a family, and he would always say, I just need to provide better for my family. So I'm going to get this job. I'm gonna start this business. He was always talking about this new business he was going to start, this different things. And he owns his own business now. That's great. But he was always talking about making more money. If I could only make, he actually made those statements to me. If I could only make like $100,000 a year, things would be great. His focus was there on those things. And his life reflected that. His life was all about that. He wanted it to be about God, but he was focused on the wrong things. And Jesus says, seek first God. Make God number one on your list. You got your list of priorities. It's number one, God, in really big letters. And then, like, way down here, number two is, you know, something else. I don't know what it would be. Number one in your life, the priority in your life is God. He's everything that you're living for. He's everything that you want to be about. It's God. And then he promises something. If everything you're about is God, he promises the second part of this, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything that you need, God will take care of. But you don't understand, I've got to think about how to impress this girl. That's got to be on my mind all the time. It just has to be. Or else I'm never going to impress this girl. Seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll take care of the rest of that stuff. Make me number one in your life. Make me all that you're living for, and I'll take care of the rest of that stuff. Make the focus of your attention, make the focus of your life God. And he'll take care of boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. He'll take care of that stuff. And I know these verses might seem unrelated. They don't say anything about relationships. They don't say anything about love. They don't say anything about a husband and a wife. They don't say anything about that stuff. But I believe that these two concepts, if you got nothing else out of this series, but you understood these two concepts and you applied them in your future relationships, it would make all the difference in the world. Because the moment that you stop looking to that other person for fulfillment and you get all your needs met by God, that's the moment that you can serve them. That's the moment that you can love them as Christ loved us. And when he's the priority of your life, not that person is the priority of your life, trust me, I can tell you all about what that's about, and it's a waste. I put Melissa number one in my life for a long time. It's the worst possible thing I could ever do for her. I'm telling you, it is. I was a horrible boyfriend. Horrible. Because she was the priority, it became, she's number one in my life because of what I can get from her, of what she can provide for me. Horrible way to go in a relationship. Seek first his kingdom, make him number one, get all your needs fulfilled by him, and then you're ready for a relationship. You're ready to serve and love as Christ did. And just as a side note, looking at this stuff, you need to look at this stuff in your own life. You know, look at whether everything that you need is being met by God. You're looking for your fulfillment from God alone, and that he is number one in your life. But if there's someone in your life and your parents have gone, you know what? You're old enough, it's okay, you can date. As long as we approve the guy or whatever. And you're looking at someone and you're going, man, that is the guy or that is the girl that I want to date. Is this true for them? Are they looking for all that they need from God? Or are they going to look to you for fulfillment, for completion? Are they putting God number one in their lives? Or are they going to heft you up there? Bad place to be. Look at it in the person that you're looking to date, too. Bottom of your hand, it says this. It says, trust that God knows what's best for you. Don't settle for something or someone that is not what God has planned for you. So easy to settle. So easy to go, well, yeah, that would be best if God was number one in their life. That would be best if they were getting all their needs met by God and wouldn't be relying on me to supply those needs for them. But, you know, she's there. She likes me. Yeah. That's usually how I evaluated relationships. Does she have a pulse? Okay, great. Does she like me? Yeah, okay. All right, I'm your new boyfriend. That's just not the way to go. It's a waste of time. Question at the end there says, what needs to change in your life to prepare you for a relationship? What needs to change in your life to prepare you for a boyfriend or girlfriend? What needs to change in your life to prepare you for that marriage relationship that you're going to hit down the road? I'll tell you this, the patterns that you set now for yourself, the patterns that you set in your relationships now are going to hugely affect the patterns in your relationship down the road. Start now with the right priorities. Start now with God's perspective on relationships. And you'll make a pattern for yourself. Let's pray and we'll go into our groups. God, I just thank you again. I feel like I continue to come to you and just thank you for your word. I just love your word, and I love that that you have seen it best for us to lay down your thoughts on paper, and that it's a place we can go to for answers. Now, God, I would get this stuff wrong. I have gotten this stuff wrong, but thank you for showing me your thoughts. Thank you for showing me how to be wise, how to be smart with my life. How we can be smart with our lives and smart with our relationships. Thank you for your word, Lord. Pray as we go to our groups that we just be able to mull this over and discuss it and get our questions answered. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Let's go to our groups, guys.